Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you're entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, you shall defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them, and you shall make no covenant with them, and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them, and you shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. But thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, and hew down their asherim, and burn their graven images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand, redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation, to those who love him and keep his commandments, but repays those who hate him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness, which he swore to your forefathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the increase of your herd, and the young and of your flock, in the land which he swore to your forefathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will remove from you all sickness, and he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you have known, but he will lay them on all who hate you. And you shall consume all the peoples whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. Your eyes shall not pity them, neither shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and wonders, and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send a hornet against them until those who are left and hide themselves from you perish. You shall not dread them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. And the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God shall deliver them before you. They will throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, so that you shall make their name perish from under heaven. No man will be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods you are to burn with fire. You should not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. And you shall not bring an abomination into your house, and like it come under the ban. You shall utterly detest it, and you shall utterly abhor it, for it is something banned. Amen. I know we haven't gone through Deuteronomy in a long time, so let's do a little quick review here that leads us into this. This is all one talk. It's kind of all done in one breath. And it starts actually at chapter 5, where he recounts the commandments. And so he lays out, he re-utters, the Ten Commandments are repeated here. And then in chapter 6 starts the whole idea of, this is what happens if you obey, you're going to prosper. So it comes with that lens. Look, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord. And so that goes out to say, hey, if you obey God, God is going to richly bless you. And so then chapter 7 is a flip side of that. Well, here's the warnings. If you don't obey God, there's going to be a lot of trouble that come your way. And then it'll go into chapter 8, which will talk about the way that God will bless Israel. And so let's look at chapter 7 a little bit. He says, now, the operative word here in the beginning of this is when. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land. Not if. It is an absolute assurance that you will come into your land, but it's going to take some time. If you read in verse 22, it says, and the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. You will not be able to put an end to them quickly, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, will throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. And so it's interesting, when you think about this, God's going to do this just a little by little by little. Now, I know for a lot of us, that's too slow. We want God to do it right now. Lord, this is your promise. This is what you said to me. Do it right now, God. But you'll notice that God doesn't necessarily operate that way. He goes little bit by little bit. When he says something, when he releases a promise, it's done. It's yes and amen. It's a done deal. But seemingly, it's not necessarily that God is slow, but God does it little bit by little bit by little bit. And I think the reason why he does that is because there's a relational aspect. See, you got to understand, when God, when he moves on the face of the earth, his desire is not necessarily for him to do it by himself. His desire is always to do it with somebody. He wants to be in partnership with his people. And so the whole idea is that when he does it little bit by little bit, it draws on us that we need to trust him. It draws out of us that we need to walk with him. We need to depend on him. We need to stay in close relationship with him. Can you imagine? Just think about this for a moment. If God were to do everything in an instant that he has promised over our life, we would probably not walk in relationship with him. Another way of saying, if God were to answer every single prayer instantly that you had, there would be no joy in answered prayer. I think this is really well illustrated the movie. It was Jim Carrey. Do you remember? The second one was Bruce Almighty. Remember the first movie? And he's going to take over the role of God, and so he does it by internet, so he does it by email. And so remember the morning that he wakes up, and he just basically says yes to every prayer that's asked within this kind of municipality, and so everyone wins the lottery. Like, that morning wakes up, and everyone wins. Everyone gets something, and then the specialness of winning the lottery is totally lost. It's no longer a big deal. It's almost as if it's nothing. In that same regard, I thought the movie did a really great kind of an illustration that if God were to answer all of our prayers instantly, we would lose, in many ways, a sense of who God is, and we would lose the specialness of answered prayer. It's not that God delays because he's some mean guy, but God knows the human heart. He knows how we operate. He knows what we're about. And if he were to do something so quickly and kind of out of his norm, it would lead us away from him. Instead of when he does it little bit by little, it draws us closer and closer to him. Because really, ultimately, what God wants is relationship. And so he turns to these nations. He says, look, here's these seven nations. These were all the nations that kind of surrounded this area of Canaan, this promised land. In fact, they were all, in a way, descendants of the Canaanites. And only one had that name, but they were all basically part of the same clan. And so here's all these, and he says, look, you're going to get into this land, and all these guys are bigger than you. All these guys are stronger than you. And thus you can see God's power and God's work operating. And he says, when you do this, the Lord will deliver them. You shall defeat them. You'll destroy them. You'll make no covenant with them and show no favor to them. See, what God wants to do is he wants to set them apart. Not so much for the sake of setting them apart, but he wants them to have some kind of self-preservation. You have to understand, the king of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ needs to come through this family line. It's already been decreed. And so God has always already chosen this people by which the Savior of the world is going to come. And so he asked them to separate themselves, to build some kind of protection around them so that this seed of Jesus will grow into. And I tell you, there are a few times in the history of Israel where it got really, really close to losing this line. And that's why we have, like, the book of Ruth. That's why we have certain passages like the book of Esther. You know, we call the Megillah. And a lot of these different things come in. And it's because it relays a story of how God saved the people from coming into extinction. And so he brings them through and he lays out some warnings to them. And he says, look, you need to separate yourself. You got to understand, if you look at modern Israel, and even this morning I was reading an article on kind of the whole issue with Jerusalem and, you know, and the UN partition and all these things that are going on, and these three religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, how they really blend, or not blend is a bad word, how they come together in animosity right there at the Dome of the Rock. It's the place where Jesus was crucified, that area. It's also the place where they believe Muhammad went up to heaven, and it's also the place of the temples, Solomon's, David's, and as well as Herod's. And there's a lot of conflict that's going on there. But if you look at Israel and you look at the land that God gave Israel, it was huge. It was a huge piece of land. But because of their disobedience, because of their lack of following after God, they either gave away their land, sold their land, or lost their land through battle. And you see that now they're kind of cornered in, and they're in a horrible, horrible military strategic location. I mean, they're surrounded by their enemies. But that was not God's initial plan. His heart in the beginning, that was not what it was about. He gave this land to them so they would be fortified and protected. But sure enough, again and again, the land is seized. And now they're in a very precarious situation, which is the cause of a lot of conflict that's going on right now. You know, well, the reason why I'm spending a bit of time reading about the current state of Israel, because we're planning to go to Israel this year, I want to make sure that we come back alive. And so, so I'm kind of doing some research on what's going on currently in that place, because we're gonna be going there this fall. And so he tells them, look, this is what you have to do. But see, this is not just God's not, okay, just obey me, just do this. He says, look, if you do this, there's going to be so many blessings of the Lord that come upon you. That your cattle, your women, they're going to be fruitful. The ground, your oil, your flax, everything that you do, your produce, is going to be so bountiful. And God's going to so richly bless all of you. And then even on top of that, there's not going to be even any sickness that's around you. You have to understand where the Israelites are coming from. Egypt, even now, modern doctors, you know, not, I can't say modern, but people that study disease and whatnot, they'll comment that Egypt, especially in the time of the Exodus, was probably one of the most disease-filled places on the planet. It had to do with the humidity and the terrain and the river and all kinds of different things. But, there was so much disease there. And so they're coming out of a place that they know sickness very well. And he says, man, I'm gonna make you well. You're not going to be sick at all. God's going to really bless you in this regard. And then on all these wonderful things are going to happen to your life. And then he gets into more of that in chapter 8. And then you're going to say to yourselves, well, all these nations are greater than me. How can I do this thing? And God says, I'm going to take care of it. In other words, God's going to work in our behalf. All you need to do is be faithful. All you need to do is just obey God in the little things, right? He says in verse 18, You should not be afraid of them. You will well remember that the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt the great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and wonders, and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm of which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet against them until those who are left and hide themselves from you perish. You shall not dread them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. Isn't that an awesome? It says, don't be afraid of them. Notice, God doesn't rebuke them for their fear. I think they should be afraid. All these nations are much better than them. But God says, don't be afraid of them. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to send the hornet. I'm the one that's going to do these things. Remember what I did in Egypt? They were much greater than you, right? And I took care of them. And God says, I'm also going to take care of you. So don't be afraid. Okay? Let's close our eyes. There is a truth that Paul understood in 1 Corinthians. And he said, bad company corrupts good morals. And so the Lord knew very well that they needed to be separate. Now, not separate forever. And I think this is a good kind of point in dealing with our approach to non-believers. I think there's a part of our time that you should be separate, that you consecrate yourself before the Lord, but not forever. When you have enough Holy Spirit working inside of you, you have enough of God's morality walking your life, then God calls us to engage, as the Lord called the Israelites to engage with the Gentiles. But it takes a season of consecration. It takes a season of being alone with God. So I want to invite you, encourage you today. If God is asking you to be set apart, maybe in some specific areas, consecrate yourself before Him. Allow the Lord to set you apart for a season to do His deep work in your life. And as we sing this song, let the Holy Spirit speak to us on this regard.
Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things. you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single
Let's pray this morning. Let's ask God to set us apart. Let's ask God to consecrate us. For some of us, it may be for the rest of our lives. Some of us, it may be for a season. Let's ask the Lord to set us apart, that we would really draw near to God. Let's pray for a season of our life where intimacy with Jesus just grows, abounds so bountifully in our life. Maybe God's convicting us about an area of our lives that we need to give over to Him again. Set it apart for Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our community that's battling cancer, that's recovering from surgery and going through chemo and all kinds of different things. Let's pray for God's healing word and just the encouragement of the Lord upon their lives. Pray over our community that's ill but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for spiritual and physical healing. Let's pray for our community that's going through non-cancer-related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's pray for the government that rules here, that would rule righteously. Let's pray against the wealth gap. Pray for revival. Just lift up churches before God. Pray for our friends ministering here, Sports Services International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Korean Church. Let's pray for God's hand upon our partners especially. Let's lift up. Thank you. Let's pray for our staff. Well, let's ask God's hand to be with us and pray for our families, our health. We have a new addition actually starting today. Andrew's starting today. And so pray that he would acclimate well within our staff, that he wouldn't cause too much trouble. And the Lord would be very gracious to him. Well, let's just lift up. Also forgot to mention, please pray especially for Tim and Janella, who are in Chicago attending a conference too, that they make it home safely. Pray for our worship teams. Let's pray that the Lord would just continue to bless and our sound and media. There'll be a heart of worship. And especially as we moved into three services, pray for just supernatural strength and God's ability to really lead us, not just in songs, but in worship that just honors Him. Let's just lift up. Let's pray for our Arts Anonymous team. Let's pray for a real spirit of creativity. Let's continue to lift up the spread. The newspaper comes out, and also just their help in the website. We actually have a meeting tonight. It's talking about vision. Let's pray that it would really go well and we'd all get on the same page in this ministry. Let's lift up. Lastly, let's lift up House Church. Let's pray for Fontana, EastEnders, Cornhill, Kowloon Garden, and Old Peak Road as we talk about family and hopefully minister to people that have struggles in their family in some way. There's some area of brokenness. Let's pray that our leaders and our House Church members can really come together to bring, incorporate healing, especially as it deals with families. So let's pray for our meetings tonight. Father, we thank you for today, God. We thank you for so many wonderful ways that you work in our life, God. But you ask us to consecrate ourselves, God. Lord, before blessing, God, there's always a sacrifice. And so I pray that you'd help us to set us ourselves apart for you, God. Not just apart for just being apart, God, but for you and unto you, Lord. And help us, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over our church today, especially our meetings today and tonight. We pray that the favor of God, the blessing of the Lord would flow. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.